The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 6. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari. Recorded on September 19th, 2010, in Aheloy, Bulgaria.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Savai pung sang puro dharmo yato bhaktir vadhoksha jay ahai kriki aprati yatha yayatma supraseedati savai pung sang puro dharmo Yato bhaktir vadhoksha jay Ahai taki aprati yatha Yayatma supraseedati Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Purport. In this statement, Sri Vatsuta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marg, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called the Nivritti Marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of material life. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just the futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, all-cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality, for example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruit of action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in His service. We have purposely denoted dharma here as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's subsistence of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the original spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distant or distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and give him complete satisfaction. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatanvita Tamsa Jiva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, what is the essential point? The essential point here is there's two different types of devotional service. So that means there's three different kinds of activities. You can just be engaged in pure sense gratification. That's miserable. You can be engaged in motivated, interrupted devotional service, which is not completely satisfying. Or you can engage in unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service, which is completely satisfying. So the question is, how much satisfaction do you want? Want a little bit? Or do you want unlimited satisfaction? What would you prefer? Nitai Chandra Prabhu, you want a little satisfaction or you want an unlimited ocean of satisfaction? What do you want? Unlimited. That's very good. Yeah. So, if you want that unlimited ocean of satisfaction, then your devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. 24 hours a day. Always engaged in Krishna consciousness. No breaks for Maya. Pure bhakti. That means one has to have faith in the process. That this Krishna consciousness, it can give me complete total satisfaction. I do not need to supplement it with a little sense gratification. Simply Krishna consciousness alone will completely satisfy me. We must have this conviction. Because only if we have that conviction do we have any hope of actually manifesting that mentality in our actions. So the first step for attaining pure devotional service, you have to be convinced that nothing else will satisfy me except for pure devotional service. Even if there's a 0.00000001% tendency for sense enjoyment, I will not be fully satisfied. I may give you a big cup of sweet rice, but if there's sand in it, is it a good thing? It's spoiled by that sand. So we should not spoil devotional service with a desire for sense gratification. So what are we doing right now? We're spoiling our devotional service by so many desires for sense gratification. So how do we deal with all that mental crud? That answer is given in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text number 70. Apuryamanam machala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayang pravishanti sarves. Let's see. Apuryamanam machala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayang shashantam abnoti nakama kami. So it means that a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean which is ever being filled but always remains still can alone achieve peace. Not the person who strives to satisfy those desires. In other words, as long as you have a material body, you're going to have material desires. That will not; those desires will not kill you if you properly deal with them. By not acting on them. You see. Just because you have a material desire doesn't mean you're now, it's all over for you, your spiritual life is finished. No. You just don't act on it, that's all. Someone may see a beautiful woman and immediately want to rape her, you see. But you just let it go through. You don't let it, you don't act on it. You say, okay, here comes a demoniac thought. Okay, let it go on. Let it get out of here. It comes and let it go, you see. Here it comes. Demoniac thought. Okay, keep going, demoniac thought. Hello, goodbye. You see? And that way. Here it comes. See that woman and seduce that woman. You know, just let it keep going. Get out of here, you know. You don't identify with the thought. You understand that it's foreign to your actual nature as being a devotee of Krishna. It's a foreign invader trying to take over your capital, you see? If you're a king and you have a kingdom, and some enemy comes to attack your kingdom, do you surrender to the enemy? No, you defeat that enemy. So if some demoniac thought enters your mind, you just say, oh, look, there's a demoniac thought. Actually, all you have to do is label it properly and it won't contaminate you. If you simply give it a proper label, oh, look, there's a demoniac thought creeping in. Like a mosquito, you know, got into the room, you know. There's a demoniac thought that creeped in. Demoniac thought, there you are, now get out of here. But if you think, oh, that's an interesting idea, go for some sense gratification. What would it be like to go for some sense gratification? What does Bhagavad Gita say? 262-63. Jayato vishayam pungsam sangateshu pijayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodo bijayate krodat bhavati sang moha sang mahat smithi vibrama smithi rangshat buddhina shobudina shat pranashyati. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. And what happens when your lusty desire isn't fulfilled? You get angry. And then from anger comes delusion. Delusion, bewilderment of memory. And what happens when your memory is bewildered? Your intelligence is destroyed. And when your intelligence is destroyed, what happens next? Bloop! You fall down into the material pool. It's finished. It's all over. You cut off your neck beads, you cut off your sika, you go and go to some prostitute house or something, become completely degraded, you see. So all you have to do is guard yourself in the very beginning. Just like in warfare, you know, they post guards on the border. If some enemy soldier comes immediately, so you have to be armed with, what is your weapon? Shastra. You have to be armed with shastric knowledge. When you see an enemy soldier peeping his head up over the horizon, immediately shoot. You see? This is why it's very good to have shastric knowledge, to know the shastra. You see? These shastras, they are astras. They are weapons. Shastra, astra. They are weapons. To protect. You see? So one should be well armed with shastric knowledge. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted that every devotee should become qualified. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhama. Become qualified pandits. If one is well armed with shastric knowledge, you see, then when the enemy soldier tries to invade your heart, you can shoot him dead with this knowledge. And this, in other words, trying to become a pure devotee is like defending a kingdom. If you're trying to stake out a claim to a kingdom of pure bhakti, then you have to defend your kingdom against attack. When the enemy comes, you must immediately defeat. That's why Arjuna addressed Krishna, Madhusudana. Arjuna understood how messed up he was in his heart. Karpanya dosho pahatasvava pritcham mitvang dharma samudacheta yashreyansya nishtitan bruhitan me shushastayang swari mangtvang prapanam. Now I am confused about my duty. I have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple. I am a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So in this way, you see, we have to become very humble. We have to beg our spiritual master. We have to beg Krishna. We have to beg the Vaishnavas. Please help me to become Krishna conscious. I am suffering, being attacked by so many material desires. Please save me. Please help me. In this way, if we humbly beg the Vaishnavas, the spiritual master and Krishna to help us, then we will be very strong. We will have an unrivaled kingdom of bhakti within the heart. No enemy soldiers of Maya will be able to conquer that kingdom. And if some lusty thought comes, what will we do? We will spit on it. That's the statement of Yamunacharya Albandra. Such a nice shlok. Yadavadi mamacheta krishna padaravinde navanavarasadamanun yattarantumasat tadavadi battanari sangame smaryabane babadi mukushushtu nishtivanam cha. Ever since I've been engaged in the devotional service of Lord Sri Krishna, getting nava nava rasa, sweeter and sweeter taste at every minute. If somehow by chance or by past bad habits I have some lusty, dirty thought in the mind, that I want to enjoy some woman, then my lips curl with this taste and I spit at the thought. In this way, the Vaishnava, he becomes very fixed. You might say, well, that's for brahmacharis and sannyasis. Householders get to enjoy sex. No, household life is also meant for giving up sex. Household life is also meant for spitting on sex. Because practically, how much sex enjoyment can a householder have? Once in a month? After 50 rounds? Then after he makes his wife pregnant, I mean, how many kids can you have before it's more than you can handle, you know? So the householders also have to learn how to spit on sex life. And living with a beautiful Krishna conscious woman like a demigoddess, but still they have to become detached. So they are also the householders, the fixed up householders, they are also sannyasis. So in this way, we have to be detached from these desires for sense gratification. And then the reward for the austerity, the reward for practicing such mental austerity is you get to taste the sweetest nectar at every minute. Nava nava rasa. Every day, sweeter nectar. Actually, at every moment, the nectar gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. If you're not experiencing that every day is becoming more ecstatic in Krishna consciousness, it means you're doing something wrong. You're not practicing it correctly. You're holding on to material desires. So why torture yourself? Why not take up the mood of pure bhakti? Give yourself a treat. Give yourself a treat. You know what that means? A treat means some special, wonderful thing. This is the supreme treat. Supreme, wonderful thing. Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is all you need to be happy. No material thing can make you happy. The only thing that can make you happy is Krishna consciousness. That's why we have a wonderful society given to us by Srila Prabhupada. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So that we can finally be happy after millions of lifetimes of suffering in the cycle of birth and death. We can finally get home again, you see. Back to home, back to Godhead. We can be, oh, thank God, now I'm home. After all that suffering, we're finally back to our original position at the lotus feet of Krishna. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
He's asking about material desires. He has heard that they can also be purified. So which one is better, to let them go or purify?
Better let it go. Tapasa brahmacharena. Yeah, better let it go. Because as soon as you try to dovetail it in Krishna consciousness, it may dovetail you. But if you can't, if it's too much to handle, then you should try to dovetail in Krishna service under the expert guidance of the spiritual master. But that is always very risky business. We see so many nice brahmacharis who were so fired up and so effulgent. They I really have to get married, Prabhu, and then you know they don't see him; they're gone. The first thing it goes is no morning program. And then after a while the japa goes also. And they're just out there working a job like a karmi to try to maintain their wife and family. And maybe you see them once a year on Ratha Yatra. So the best thing is to, you know, if you can remain brahmachari, that's the best thing. Not to become carried away by material desire. Yes.
вчені Петра проповідали на различні жінки матері.
Does this mean that a brahmachari should not preach to women?
So the question is, should a brahmachari preach to women or not? Well, I know there's one brahmachari book distributor. He won't even approach a woman for distribute a book. He'll only preach to men. But what Prabhupada said was this. The brahmacharis said, well, you know, we don't want to fall down and to have women chanting japa in the temple room at the same time we are. It's very distracting and disturbing, so we should send the women somewhere else. We shouldn't let them chant in the temple room with us. So Prabhupada said, if the brahmacharis are that agitated, they should go live in the forest. The point is, as long as you can see every woman as mother, that's the point. Yeah, brahmachari. I asked Prabhupada. I was a brahmachari for 14 years, and I personally asked Prabhupada some questions about brahmachari life. As far as, you know, temple in the temple, he said, never be alone together with a brahmacharini. Never be alone with a brahmacharini in the same room. Never. Absolutely never. And he said, talk almost nil. Not that I sit with some brahmachari for prasadam and say, well, Mataji or Bhaktan Jain, you know, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? You know, we share our intimate stories with each other. No, you're just asking for trouble when you do them. But if you're a manager of a project, and you're engaging women in Krishna's service, then you have to do whatever is necessary to engage them in service. In the mood of a father or a son, either way. Actually, the son is the best mood. The spiritual master has to act like a father, but for others you should think, this is my mother, and let me engage my mother in Krishna consciousness. I'm the son and she's the mother, and let me engage her in Krishna consciousness. If you're the leader of a project somewhere and women are being attracted, you cannot reject them. I was told that actually Prabhupada's original idea was to only have men disciples. But then the women were also coming to join the movement, and so Prabhupada had to accept. See, in Vedic culture there was no such thing as a brahmacharini. Because every woman was married and she would, her husband would come to Krishna consciousness, the wife would come with him. They both get initiated together, you see. Brahmacharini is a new thing. It's not traditional. Brahmacharini is not traditional Vedic culture. Although there were, in rare cases, there were brahmacharinis, like that prostitute that Haridas made into a devotee. She was brahmacharini. It was a very rare thing. In the Vedic culture, all the women were married and they came with their husbands to Krishna consciousness. They would take diksha when their husband took diksha. But now in the Kali Yuga, the society is very much disrupted and we can't just reject these girls. You see, we have to give them shelter also. So just always think, they are my mother, satsang. And don't ever be alone with them. And just preach, but not like intimate buddy-buddy thing. Never like that. You can dutifully preach to them, and this is my mother, I have to engage her in Krishna service. Prabhupada is very strict. He said on the altar, no man and woman should be serving together unless they're a husband and wife. That's how strict Prabhupada was. Not that in the kitchen you have a man and a woman serving together who are not married to each other. The two of them alone in the kitchen is not very good. Yeah.
Sometimes this is a problem when some new women come to the movement. They expect that you give them attention, but if you are a brahmachari and you have this consciousness, you try to.
Well, you should. I personally feel you have to. If there's no one else there, you need. If you're the only person that's qualified to guide them, you're going to have to do it. But you have to just be very detached. That's. Not get attached, well, just like Haridas Thakur, he was very detached. Oh, this beautiful girl has come. I'm a devotee, so I didn't have sex with her, but I made her a devotee, so now I got a good wife. No, he didn't. He said, you can have this hut, and I'm gone. Hare Krishna, I'm out of here. He was very detached. He could have gotten married. Will I have a nice Krishna conscious wife? No. But he understood that he had a mission, that marriage would not be good for his preaching mission, so he didn't take it. One should be attached to one's preaching mission. That's much more tasty than any relationship, even with a nice Krishna conscious woman. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when will I become free from this attraction for women and just become attracted to my preaching mission? So, we cannot reject these girls. If Krishna sends a girl, we have to be kind to her and make her to help her become Krishna conscious. One has to be very sober. Especially some beautiful woman is there and she wants Krishna conscious shelter and protection and guidance. You see? One has to be very, very sober, very, very pure, and then, one can preach to such, in such a situation, necessary. If there's no one else qualified, what can be done? But it's always good to find some qualified person. Can take over and relieve you of that position. Some householder or some another Mataji, you know, that's always better. Get them connected with someone else who can then give them the, you know, more intimate instructions. That's always better.
английски по интимни инструкции. Това винаги е по-добре.
Я.
Два практически въпроса мога ли да задам?
Can I ask two practical questions?
You already asked one. The answer is yes. Now what's the other one?
The other one is related to relationship with Matajis.
Okay.
He has noticed that some situations happened before the lecture, and then during the lecture we got clarification about these situations. It happens like this.
Yes, that Krishna is arranging everything perfectly. Go ahead.
If a Mataji disturbs you and you told her that she should move, not stay with the man, but she says that she will stay anyway, so should I go to the forest or
Well, I know one Mataji who actually wanted to become a man. She was taking some chemical treatment. She adopted a man's name and everything. She was circumambulating Tulsi with a man and everything. She wanted to change genders. But I told her that she was an older woman who'd already had a child. She'd given birth to a daughter from her own womb. So I told her, it doesn't make any sense for you to try to become a man. When your daughter comes, she calls you mom. It doesn't make any sense, you know. So I advised her just to go back being a woman, Go ahead and wear a sari. And I advised her like that. But the problem was there was one brahmachari who wanted to become a brahmacharini. He wanted to, this is in Amsterdam. He wanted to change genders and become a brahmacharini, so he got really mad when I told the Mataji she'd just be a Mataji. So, the thing is, we all have, according to our past activities, we've all gotten certain types of bodies. Now, the perfection of our existence is not to try to be, if I have a female body, to try to be a male. That is not the perfection of my existence. Or if I'm a male, to try to have a to become a female, that is not the perfection of my existence. Being for a female to be a female is also not the perfection of her existence. If I tell her you should just be a Mataji, that's not the perfection of existence either. The actual perfection is to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness beyond male and female. So if some woman insists on coming and being with the men, I can't imagine what you're talking about, but do you want to sit with the men, or what was it? During prasadam, or what?
He's giving example now with Prema Manjari Mataji because she's staying with the men.
Oh, she's in the back with her husband. It's not a big deal. She and her husband are in the back. I mean, you know, it's not like fanaticism. You know, if you step over that line, we're gonna zap you, you know. I mean, this is a family, you know. Maybe she has a bad back. She wants to sit against the bookcase. I don't know. If she was sitting up in the front, it'd be another thing, but she's in the back. If she was sitting here between Tulsi Prabhu and Nittai Chandra, it'd be another thing. You know, if she wanted to sit up here, I'd say, what are you doing? But there's nothing wrong with her sitting in the back like that. But now Vishnupriya Mataji says you should sit on this side, just to create. And this brahmachari, now you should come over here. Yeah, it's not a big thing. Not a big thing.
The question is that we are here to learn, so we should learn here so that then we can continue nicely.
Yes, you should learn very nicely how to be Krishna conscious, and then you should apply that knowledge in your practical actions. Question.
In case that the brahmacharis trying to defend their celibacy, if they treat the matajis, you know, not very polite, then what should the matajis do?
Should feel sorry for the poor brahmachari. He's obviously agitated. He's sexually agitated. That's why he's treating you harshly. Feel sorry for the poor guy. Pray to Krishna to help him. Attraction and repulsion are both. They're both materialistic, you see. If he's actually, the brahmachari is actually fixed in Krishna consciousness, he's equipoised, you see. Pandita samadarshinaha. Yeah, but if he's, you know, if he's in a fanatical mood, then obviously he's not very fixed up. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, I went to a Rath Yatra festival in New Orleans. And I was about ready to eat a sweet ball, you see, during the prasadam, a sweet ball. And one brahmachari came up to me. And he said, "Stop! That's a dhoti whitener." You understand? If you eat that sweet, you're going to fall down and get married. You'll have a white dhoti instead of a saffron dhoti. That sweet ball is a dhoti whitener. Stop! Don't spit it in your mouth. Well, I was a brahmachari for 14 years, and that boy got married very soon after that. I'll tell you right now. So, you know, these fanatical brahmacharis, they end up, they're the first ones to get married. For those who are equipoised, you know, they don't hate women. They're not running after women, nor do they hate them. They just see, this is my mother. I respect her. She's my mother. They can remain brahmachari the whole life very happily. Yes.
The ideal for Krishna consciousness is to live simply and think.
Plain living and high thinking.
Simple living and high thinking. That's the ideal for Krishna consciousness. But we have many rituals in our activities in Krishna consciousness also. So how can we find our svarup with Krishna in while doing all this?
Yeah. Your eternal spiritual identity is already there. But at the present moment, you're in a diseased state. Because of that diseased condition, you have no access to your eternal spiritual identity. At the present moment, you're contaminated by lust, by anger, by greed, by madness, by illusion, and by envy. These six enemies are polluting your heart at the present time. Therefore, you're blocked from being situated in your svarup. So just like a person in a healthy state, he can eat ice cream. When he's sick, he cannot eat ice cream. He has to take the remedial measure to get well from his sickness. And then once he is healthy, he can eat ice cream. If he tries to eat ice cream in his unhealthy state, imitating a healthy person, he will become even more sick. So, therefore, you have to undergo some activities which may seem artificial to you. Following different rules and regulations given by the spiritual master in the scriptures. You may feel they are artificial. But these are remedial measures to cure you from your disease state. So that you can gradually become resituated in your original relationship with Krishna. You have to patiently take the cure. And don't try to jump ahead and eat the ice cream. That I think I'm a gopi or I'm a gopa or I'm a peacock. And the key to regaining your original svarup in the pastimes of Krishna is you simply become the completely sold out servant of the spiritual master. You become completely, totally surrendered to Sri Guru. That's how you become situated. Just like a soldier in the army, completely dedicated to your commanding officer. You should be totally dedicated to your spiritual master. This is the way that you'll become cured of your disease of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Actually, these are not rituals. Our activities may appear to be rituals, but actually this is celebration. Our Mangal Arati is not some ritual. It's an ecstatic celebration. Offering an Arati to Srila Prabhupada. It is not a ritual. It is an offering of love to Srila Prabhupada. Do you think love is a ritual? If you love someone and you express your love for them, is that a ritual? What is your opinion? If you love someone and you express your love for them, is that expression of love a ritual or is it love?
These things are interrelated. These things.
Is it love or is it a ritual? Or is it both? Yes, it appears as a ritual. For the neophyte, it appears to be a ritual, that's a thing. Because you're a neophyte, to you it looks like a ritual. That is your neophyte vision. But for an advanced devotee, it is simply pure love. I was standing several feet away from Srila Prabhupada when he was offering an arti to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. And I guarantee you, Prabhupada was not doing a ritual. Prabhupada was expressing his love for his spiritual master. So for you it is ritual. That I accept. But the advanced transcendentalist, it is expression of love, that's all. So, if you don't like rituals, then you should pray for pure bhakti. Very intensely within your heart, beg Krishna for pure bhakti. And then you will see there are no rituals at all in Krishna consciousness. That it is simply pure love. Okay, we'll stop here. Oh my goodness, more hands going up. What time is it? We have 3 minutes till 9. Can I do 3 more minutes? We're already way over time. Now we have, we have to stop here. You can always send me an email. Any questions that weren't answered, write me an email, because we do have a schedule we have to keep up with. So you may say, well, that's a ritual. But the love is, you can write me an email, and I'll answer. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.